My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have another teaching. We're going to have a teaching that's going to be called Blameless. Blameless. I think you'll enjoy this. I sure did. This is really wonderful. So get your Bibles out, your pencils and papers and your out, and be ready to follow along with me and write down these verses that we're going to be going through. And you can go back to them, and it just will make a lot of the difference in the world when you get that Bible and get to know it. So, we're going to be talking about blameless. How can we be blameless before God? It's almost impossible to think about that. But someday, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't have to shake in our boots or be scared or be upset because of what Jesus did. Because of what He did, and we believed it too. We can be totally blameless before God because Jesus died on that cross to pay for our sins. And He was buried and He rose from the dead. And when we believe that, we become blameless because God, we believe that Jesus paid for our sins. And if He paid for our sins, we don't have any more sins to be blamed. And it's wonderful. We're going to stand before Him either at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's where the all believers will go, or the great white throne judgment. Let's look at the great white throne judgment first. This is where the unbelievers, down the road, it'll be after the millennium, God's going to take every unbeliever that was ever born from Adam to the present time, and they're going to stand before Jesus. Now let's look at this. Turn to Revelations. Revelations chapter 20, the last book of the Bible. Revelations chapter 20, and let's look at verses 11. Revelations chapter 20, verses 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face of the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God too. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead and were therein, and death and hell delivered up and dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Cast into the lake of fire. Who wrote this book? John did. Was he writing to you and me? Very likely not. See, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the disciples, see, they were told not to go to us. But who did tell us? Well, Paul told us. Let's turn back to Romans and tells us what we're going to be judged by. What we're going to be judged by, and the whole world is going to be judged by. Let's turn back to Romans and Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And let's look at verses 16. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. And it says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ." When is that day? See, we just read about it. The great white throne judgment. That's the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. But what's He going to be according to? Look what it says. According to my gospel. You see, that whole group of people that will be there in the great white throne judgment are going to be judged according to, did they believe Paul's gospel for their salvation? There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. There's going to be a so-called Christian people from all over the world. See, I was 70 years old before I heard the gospel. It was never preached. You know, and God knew that I would believe it if I heard it, but I never heard it. that I didn't hear it from a preacher. I heard it from a Les Felix, who's a cattle farmer and out of Oklahoma, you see, before I heard the gospel. They're not preaching the gospel today, and it's just hurts me. It's just horrible, because that's what we're going to be judged by. And I just thank the Lord He woke me up in time. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3:12. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verses 12. Now, this is the judgment seat of Christ, that all believers will stand before Jesus. But you see, we're not going to be judged by our sins and by ourselves at all. Our works are going to be judged. Look what it says. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's works, not ourselves. It's what we did on this earth, and what sort it was. You see, the works that we do on this earth are tremendously important, but it's not the works that we do we're going to get rewards for. It's the works that God did through us, because our works are worthless as far as God is concerned. Whatever we do, you see, there's no going to be no I in heaven. Nobody's going to say, well, I did this or I did that. No. All those works will burn up. It says, if any man's works abide, which he hath built up thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Go to the right, Colossians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 13. You see, this is why we can stand there at the judgment seat of Christ, blameless. See, look, this is why we can do that. And you, verse 13, Colossians chapter 2, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he made alive or quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. See, we're not going to be judged by our sins. We're going to be judged by our works. And the works that we do is it's not what we do, it's what God does. You're in Colossians, just turn just back just a little bit. Let's look at verses 29. Colossians 1:29. This will show you what I'm talking about. Paul says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working. See, Paul didn't do anything. It was God working through him, which worketh in me mightily. See, that's what we're working for. Is Christ working mightily in you? You see, that's the key. Everything we can strive to be good Christians and do all the things that we boast to do, you see. But it's not us that's doing it. When you believe the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Christ moves in and lives with you, and He will do it. He will do it. And He's going to keep us blameless also, see. Because He will do it. It's according to His workings, not ours. In heaven, if it was according to what we did, there'd be people all around you bragging and telling what they did. But there's not going to be one person mentioning themselves whatsoever. Because, see, all the works that they did, they have already seen burn up. Every bit of it. Because, you see, there's no I in heaven. If we're all going to have to be there for one reason, it's because of what God did. And we can glorify in God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can glorify Him. Everybody will be glorifying in what He did through you. And that's what we're supposed to do. Be following the lead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is doing the works for us. Let's turn to Ephesians. I just love this being able to go book to book and go back to the left and go to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 4. Ephesians 1, verses 4. Okay, what is our title of our playing? It's blameless. See? Okay, look what it says. According as He, God, hath chosen us in Christ, in Him, see, before the foundations of the world, before this world was ever put together, He already knew that Al Morse was going to be a believer. He already knew it and had chosen us. And chose you also, see, if you're a believer. That we should be holy and without blame, or blameless, see, before Him in love. How can we do that? How can we do that? Colossians, real fast. I wasn't going to do that, but look at Colossians chapter 1 and look at verses 27 to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Who is it for? Among the Gentiles. Who are we? Gentiles. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how we can be blameless. It's going to be God working in us. God's going to do it. We can't do it. There's no way that we'll be without blame before Him. Why? Because of what He did on that cross. Because He forgave us of all trespasses we saw back just a few minutes ago. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Turn back to the left to 1 Corinthians, and let's look at chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye become behind in no gift, waiting what? For the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at 8. Who shall also confirm you, or walk in, it means you, unto the end, that you may be what? Our word, blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you. It's the only way we can do it. God will be working through us. And He's made us blameless because of the work of the cross. Isn't that wonderful? It's just hard to even comprehend. Let's look at Philippians. Go back to the right. They go for 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And let's look at Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at verses 13. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, how do we do it? Through Christ living in us. For it is God who worketh in you. See, God is doing it. He's going to do work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. See, God is working in you now because you believe the gospel and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Do all things, see, without murmuring or disputing, that you may be blameless. See, that's our word again. Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's what we live in. Among whom you will shine as the light in the world. See? Because why? Christ is living in you. Isn't that neat? Let's look at this. Turn people going to the right to 1 Thessalonians and look at the last verse, last chapter of it. I think chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 5. And look at verses 23 and 24. We'll mark these down. This is wonderful verses we're going through. And it's all dealing with blameless. Look at what it says. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now that wholly is mean totally. So we are sanctified totally. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body, that's all of us. When you talk about the soul, spirit, and the body, that's it, see. Even the body, see. what's going to be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, once we believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes into us. As far as God is concerned, we are blameless. Does it mean that I'm blameless and I never make a mistake or do something wrong? No. But you see, that all trespasses have been paid for. See, anything that I ever do, it's as far as God is concerned, has been paid for. Any sin I've ever committed in the past or future has been paid for by what Jesus did on that cross. That's why we have to look directly to Him, see. Not to what we do, but what He did on that cross. We don't believe just in Jesus. You see, we believe what He did, because what He did is what saves you. See, He died on that cross. If He hadn't died on that cross to pay our sins, see, it's not just believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If He just died, like any other Jew, wouldn't have meant anything to us. But He died for our sins, you see. That's the key. You got to understand, when you believe, when you won't become a believer unless you believe He died for your sins. And that He was buried and He rose from the dead and will be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means either He comes in the rapture or we go see Him in death. See? Okay? But look at verse 24. When He's going to preserve us blameless, see? Look what He said. Faithful is He that calleth you. See? Who called us? We saw that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses, or chapter 1, verses 4. Who was it? God called us before the foundation of the world. Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it. You see, He will do it. See, how did He do it? Through the death of the cross. That's how He's going to keep you, because of what Christ did on that cross. It's just, isn't that a wonderful verse? It's not what you and I are working to be saved. You see, we've been saved because what Jesus did, and He will keep us. See, God will keep us. It's just fantastic. Now, while we're in Thessalonians, just turn over to chapter 3. Just go back just a little ways to chapter 3. And let's look at verses 13. 3:13. It says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13, it says, "And to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable," see, unblameable, "in holiness before God." But look what it says, "to the end He," see, Jesus, see, "may establish your hearts," not us, He will. He will establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with His saints. When is that? Well, that's the rapture. See? That's the rapture. And this, you're in 4. Chapter 4 is right next. Look what He's talking about. See? When Jesus comes back, we will be unblameable when He comes to take us home because of what He did. And look how important the gospel is. Look, what does He say? Turn, look at right here, chapter 4, verses 14. It's right, next page in my Bible anyway. "For if we believe," see, we got to do something. There's an if there. You see, just like there is in the gospel, you have to believe. You know, you have to keep in memory of what I told you. That's what Paul said. And he's talking about the gospel. But here again, it says, if we believe, you have to believe this gospel, see, that Jesus died, see, and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep, the people who had died, had to believe that for them to be in heaven, so they can come again along with them. Which sleep in Jesus will bring with them. See, He's going to bring them with Him. All the people that's died will come with Him who believed the gospel, or believed that Jesus died and rose again. That's the gospel, see. "For we say, as unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so ever be with the Lord. People ask me, well, where are we going to be then? Whatever the Lord is at, we'll forever be with the Lord. So, can you imagine that? Will forever be with the Lord. This is just mind-boggling. Now let's turn back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We're talking about blameless now. This is some beautiful words. Let's start at verses 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, he has made peace with God through the blood of his cross, his death on that cross, by to reconcile him all things unto himself. See, he's reconciled every person on this world to him. By him, I say, whether there are things in earth and things in heaven. You see, then 21 says, and you and myself, they were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled us. See, we have been reconciled. See, in the body of his flesh, see, Jesus' flesh, through his death, see, his death on that cross, to present you, because he died on that cross to pay for your sin. Now he can, if you believe that, see, you have to believe it, to present you holy. There's our word again, unblameable, see, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Think about that. How wonderful that is. Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight. When we stand before him, he's not going to say, Al, you should have done this. Why did you do this? You should, you know, or why didn't you do it this way? No, we're going to be perfect in his sight because of what Christ did on that cross, and he paid for every miscue we ever made or ever will make. But there's an if here. See, he did that. Who paid for everything, but you, in order to appropriate it, look what it says. If you continue in the faith. Now, what's the faith? Well, you ask most preachers, they'll say, well, it's the faith in Jesus. It's faith in Jesus and his teachings. That's not faith. Look what it says. Not what I say. Look what the word says. If you continue in the faith, what is the faith? Faith is grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of taking Jesus as your Savior. Didn't say that, did it? Didn't say that. It says settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. This gospel that Paul preached, that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. This gospel is what you have to put your faith in. See, the gospel. I didn't say it. The book said it right here, just as plain as day. Our faith is based on the gospel. You see, Jesus pointed not to himself. He pointed to what he did, because what he did, dying on that cross, is what saves you. If he hadn't died on that cross to pay for your sins, we'd still be in our sins and wouldn't have no chance whatsoever. See? Hope of the gospel. What about this gospel? Which you have heard, he's talking to these Colossians, he heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, where I am, Paul, and made a minister. Think about that. Isn't that just wonderful? Why don't they preach it today? He preaches it to everybody. Well, let's turn back to Colossians. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to have to go pretty fast. We've only got a couple of minutes. Man, time goes by fast. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verses 3. This is what's happened over the last 100 years. People have turned from the gospel and went to Judaism, and it's horrible. And why? We'll show you why. Paul says, this is chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel, the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that is buried and rose from the dead, be hid, if they don't believe it, if they're not taught it, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You're lost. If you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you're lost. I didn't say it, the book did. In whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world? Satan is. He's took this world ever since Adam's fall, everything. If we had time, we'd go back and I'd show you. In Matthew chapter 4, he looked out with this whole world, and Satan says, I'll give it all to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, no, he wanted to worship God. He had it to give? Yes, he did. He said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He's blinded the minds of the Christians to put their trust, say, I believe in Jesus and take him as my Savior. That's not the gospel. See? He's blinded the minds that believe not the gospel, least the light of the glorious gospel, this glorious gospel that Jesus gave to us for salvation for the body of Christ. See? This glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See? Satan has blinded the minds of these people. It is really horrible. Flip real fast over to chapter 11 and look what the reason why. It says, verses 13, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. All the preachers today have transformed themselves into apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into light, angels of light. Therefore, if no great thing, if his ministers, see, also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Satan's ministers of righteousness in virtually every church because they don't preach the gospel, whose end shall be according to the works. We have to close here, that I love this blameless, this teaching. It's fantastic. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us, and open our minds to the gospel that we can be saved. And I just pray that everybody's minds would open up and they would see this gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and they would believe that for their salvation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.